Muscle your way in.
25,239. Yeah, for the record, Sergeant.
Good morning. Sergeant John Iamazzo, IOMMAZZO, Waterbury Police Department, issuing authority.
And a summary of your case, Sergeant?
So initially, the appellant was denied based off an extensive in-house history of negative police contacts with the Waterbury Police Department. A pardon was provided, and during the vetting process of all the charges listed in the pardon, and due to the age of the incident, it took additional time to find it, but there was an incident that came to our attention where the appellant had a confirmed incident of a suicide attempt. A follow-up was completed, and we confirmed that that information was accurate. So based off that, the negative contacts and the confirmed suicide attempt.
Do you have a brief summary of your case, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I could speak on it. That was in almost 20 years ago. It was like 2007 or 8, I believe. I went through some rough time. I explained that when I went for my parole pardon hearing. I explained that, and they granted me my pardon, and it was 20 years ago. Today, I'm a different person. I didn't have no suicidal, no medication after that.
We'll give you a chance to talk more about it. It's just okay. A summary right now.
Okay.
So that's enough for now.
All right, thank you.
Sergeant?
Yes, good morning. So as I initially stated, the application was initially denied based off these negative police contacts, specifically with the Waterbury Police Department. He is correct. There is a pardon with a multitude of charges on there. Most of the, if not all of the incidents that we were basing were indeed on that pardon. But as I had said earlier, through that vetting process of all those charges in the pardon, we discovered in, as he said, an older case file that at the time was locked in an archive because it's aged in our system, where the appellant had a confirmed incident of a suicide attempt, at which point the appellant tied a rope around his neck and jumped off a second story deck, and is only alive with us today because two friends kicked his door in and physically pulled him by the rope back onto the deck. My investigator at the time that we discovered this performed a follow-up interview with the appellant. He confirmed all the details of the incident. It was also discovered that during that incident, the appellant became violent and uncooperative with the police, sending a police officer who was there to assist him and render aid, sending a police officer to the hospital with injuries due to his violent response to his assistance.
And this was in 2007?
This was in 2007. Again, all that information was corroborated. The appellant corroborated all that information. And so we feel that based off that, for suitability, the appellant should not be issued a pistol permit.
Has there been any police interaction since the date of the pardon, which is December 2023?
So, in all fairness, the appellant is a business owner in Waterbury, so we do have interactions with him. Nothing of a criminal nature, where he is the subject of the criminal investigation, but I think the suicide attempt is a serious concern for the issuing authority.
Would you like to cross-examine
the
sergeant?
Yes, ma'am. The 2007, yes, I acknowledge.
This is when you can ask him questions. This is not your chance to talk yet, just to ask him questions.
For the 2007, you said the officer was went to the hospital, but I was never charged for that. So I never had anything. And on top of that, the officer assaulted me when I was, and I told him that I'm dealing with some crisis stuff.
This is where you ask him questions about what he testified to. You'll have a chance to say a little bit. Well, you don't have to ask him.
No, I don't know how, you know, this is the way I'm doing it. I'm sorry. So my point is, I was never charged for hitting an officer or assaulting an officer when that incident happened. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Okay, so, okay.
So now your chance to give your story.
We have questions.
I'm sorry. Questions from the board?
I'll ask a question. So the suicide by attempt by hanging occurred in 2007.
Correct.
You're still concerned after the passage of all this time and no other incidents of any kind of call for a mental health issue?
He's had zero mental health care follow-up from that incident. In that ensuing time, he has never sought nor has been treated for any mental health provider.
Yeah, so?
I mean, I would think, you know, from a mental health perspective, a prior suicide attempt is probably the most significant known predictor for any future suicide attempts, especially one that has had either none or fragmented or insufficient mental health care. And by his own admission from our follow-up, he's had no mental health follow-up. So it lends us some serious concern that, you know, based on the statistical and mental health situation, that later in life he could have yet a recurrence based on any of these vulnerabilities that he may have had at the time.
Unlikely after 19 years. And we're talking about an individual rather than the statistics.
I don't have any documentation saying that you say it's unlikely. I'm not sure if he's, you know, if you've interviewed him or treated him. I don't have any mental health providers that have treated him and have confirmed that they think it's unlikely. So I would act in the best interest of the issuing authority and say that, you know, suitability, that he may or may not. I'm not willing to take that chance. I'm not willing to make that determination that he is absent of any chance of having a recurrence of his mental health situation.
Are you aware the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention has repeatedly stated that a one-time incident of suicidal ideation does not necessarily mean there will be future?
I don't think we're talking about an ideation here. I mean, the appellant wrapped a rope around his neck and jumped off a second-story window. This is not an ideation.
No, he had ideation. He tried to follow through, but nothing since then.
I don't think he tried to follow through. He followed through. He's only here because his two friends are documented kicking his door in and pulling him off the deck. I don't think this is a this is I understand we've had incidents where we have people who have made statements or, you know, they've been sent for evaluations. This is a fully documented suicidal attempt that, again, like I said, he's only here because of his two friends that saved him.
And thank God for that.
Exactly. Thank God for that.
One time incident.
I'll question the appellant when we get to that point, Madam Chair.
Any other questions for the sergeant?
Did he give you a copy of the pardon? That's how you got it?
Yes.
He disclosed it to
Yes.
you? He talked in his opening statement about what it was 20 years ago. Is that accurate?
I can give you the, give me one moment. I thought I did include that. I have a date of December of 2023, so that was the date of the pardon.
No, he said the last charge, well, he was all these were 20-year-old charges.
Approximately.
I see 2015.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, that was that 15 one, yes.
A couple of 2000.
That was one
same date.
One particular incident.
So 11 years was the last.
Correct.
Not even, it will be 11 years in December.
Correct. So the oldest would be 11 years by your math, but obviously this particular incident was almost 20 years ago.
Okay. Do you have any information about the nature and circumstances of any of those charges? Because they look very serious.
I do. I mean...
Is it from him?
They are all him, yes.
No, but did he tell you?
He did not.
In the interview?
He did not.
Was he asked about it?
He was. But he has a pardon, so he's under no obligation to...
He didn't tell you about it? No, you'll get your...
Not yet.
Okay, I just wanted to... The pardon came from him.
Correct.
So he disclosed it, and that's what we have in front of us.
Correct.
With the nature of the charges. Would you say there were minor charges or serious charges?
No.
And that was about the time of the suicide attempt, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the board? Now it's your time. Question, where do you live?
I live in Waterbury, ma'am.
Okay.
The charges on 2015, that was when my probation finished. I believe my crime was 2012, because I had 3 years probation. Previous than that, you know, I grew up in the streets. I did the wrong things. My life was different. I found life. When I did the suicidal thing, I did seek help. The help didn't help me because they wanted to put me on medication. I'm against drugs. I don't want to feel like doped up to try to fix myself, if that makes any sense. So I told the doctor I was all set. I think I was treated for like 6 months. The medication had me like dopey, sitting in the house, like blah, blah. I couldn't live like that. So I took the medication, I flushed it down the toilet, and I got my life back together.
How old were you at that time?
I'm 46 now. I would say about
20.
Late 20s, early 30s probably. When that happened, I got my life back together. I did one more incident, and I did a crime, and then I did the probation for it. That's what changed my life. I had a little baby, and then since then I got married. No incidents. I'm a business owner. I'm even an employee as well. I did everything I could in life to. For a second chance. You know, I'm that person that it's living proof of a second chance. And for them holding me back from, I totally understand what he's saying about the mental health thing, but that was 19 years ago. Nothing happened since 19 years later on mental health or any other crime. You know, besides the last one that I finished my probation in 2015. You know, I understand. And that's why I'm here. I want to hear why I'm being stopped to continue living or achieve what I could. I achieved a pardon. You know, for a person like me that did what I done, you know, there wasn't serious crimes, but it was a crime. And I acknowledged it, and I'm here. You know, and for them to interactions with when I was denied, it was because too many interactions with Waterbury Police Department. It's not saying it was because of that crime. I mean, that suicidal thing. So I can't even speak to an officer because that's an interaction. I don't know. If an officer tried to talk to me, is that interaction? I don't understand. So I don't know what the law states of interaction for a pistol permit.
Is there any, do you dispute any details of the suicidal attempt from 2007?
No, I take full responsibility. I said that.
Okay.
I took full responsibility, and you had no knowledge that I went to mental health. I did it for like 6 months through the hospital, and then they wanted to put me on meds. I didn't want no meds. I don't want to be caught up in the med situation. because I seen people get caught up in meds, and next thing you know, they're dope fiends 4 months, 6 months later down the line. You see them downtown somewhere, you know? That's not me. I have a purpose to be here, and I see that from when I went through it in 2007 to today. It's a big difference.
Any other questions, sir?
No, no other questions.
Questions from the board?
I'll just ask a few questions.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
I represent the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Since that incident in 2007, and since your 6 months seeing a practitioner for after that incident, have you had any major changes in your mood where you felt down in the dumps or life is not worth living?
I wake up every day, 6:30 in the morning, I'm ready to attack the day. Like, just go hard. You know, I work hard. From the day, from the minute I wake up, I get everything together and I walk out the house. I run a landscaping business that's owned by me, and I also work for a porta potty business that I'm employed. And I work till like 9, 10 o'clock at night and just go home, take a shower, eat dinner with my family, and do it all over again. And I work 7 days a week. You know, only time I get vacation with my son takes the Easter vacation. I work on holidays, I work through my birthday, through everything. I just love the work now. I wish I had this 25 years ago, I'd be in a different situation, but I'm blessed, you know?
Who lives in your household with you? You don't have to give me your names, but just their relationship.
My wife and my son.
Have they ever voiced any concerns about your mental health?
No, ma'am. And for the record, my wife has a pistol permit.
Thank you.
Yes.
Other questions from the board?
Go ahead.
Well, commendable with the change in your life. Kids do that.
Yes.
Trust me.
Thank you.
I'm a product of myself. But it looks like there's 15 docket numbers. That's a lot for them to pardon, right? And a third of them looked like they were possession and sale of narcotics.
Yes,
can you tell me anything about those five incidents? Like, what happened? Like,
I think when I was younger, I got caught with some marijuana. Mm-hmm. The other one, it was some cocaine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no large amounts. It was like, I think a gram or two, but it's still a drug I got caught with. Yes, sir. Okay. It was never a big amount of.
It was just regular possession. Some
yes.
of them were distribution and sales.
Yeah. That's what they give you as a charge. Yes,
okay.
sir.
Just having.
Yeah.
Also, there were three assault third charges during
yes.
the time, 2009, 2008, and 1996, which was a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
But like you see, like there's this consistent pattern of behavior from like 1996 to, you're saying 2012, right? Because that's the probation, because it says 2015, but really 2012. What was going on?
I was,
during that time, that's not going to happen now in the future.
So I went through a breakup. Mm-hmm. I felt like the world was against me, and that's what brought me to the suicidal.
Okay.
And I felt like I just had no purpose here no more.
And now you have a purpose.
And now I have
business,
a purpose.
Business,
family. Family,
you
yes.
Something I'm, to live for.
Dogs, everything, yes. Yeah. And a bird.
There you go.
Yeah.
You're just piling it on between that work, right?
We're just living.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
So you don't think those sort of stressors and those sort of triggers are in your life anymore?
No.
They couldn't rear their head again? Or
no.
Of those.
No.
That's
just
a,
because...
That's big for us
because
of
just,
the pattern.
Just because I live different today. I'm mm-hmm. not in that circle. I'm not,
yep.
you know... My phone only rings for business mm-hmm. that or a family member.
Yep.
That's it. Like, I'm not...
Well, small business that'll consume you, so
yeah.
it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
You mentioned you were treated for 6 months.
Yes, sir.
Did you just quit the treatment? Or was it still recommended at the time and you just decided no?
No, I just told the doctor I don't want no more meds and I'm all set.
So he was recommending meds and you said no?
Correct, sir. Well, he gave them to me. I was taking them, but it was making me droopy and tired and like foggy, like mentally foggy. And like, I didn't want to do nothing. All I wanted to do was just lay around the house and watch TV. And didn't feel like...
Did you spend time in the hospital after the suicide attempt?
Yes, I was there for, I believe, 8 days, sir.
Was that for physical injuries or was that a psychological evaluation?
Psychological.
Do you have any medical record or documentation of those 8 days, what was happened, what happened, what treatment you may have received, what may have been recommended?
No, sir, I never got nothing. I just, when I got released...
Well, there's something there.
But I will have to go to the doctors or, I never, you know...
You would have medical...
From the hospital. I was in Waterbury Hospital on the 8th floor for 7 or 8 days.
But as we sit here today, you don't have any documents to verify any of that?
No.
You mentioned that you didn't commit...
Well, excuse me. They arrested me when I came out of there, so from the date...
I'm concerned about the mental health part of it. Mm-hmm. Because he is, and I think some of us are. And I'd love to see some documentation saying it wasn't as serious as it appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have that.
I never knew.
You mentioned that the charges or the crimes you committed back then were not serious.
Well, everything was serious, sir.
But you said not serious. But
I didn't mean it like that. Yes, they were serious. When the gentleman right here asked me about the drugs, I told him it wasn't a big amount, but it was an amount that is still a crime. Yes.
And it was sales.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So were you a drug dealer back then?
Yes, sir.
Were you part of the gang?
No, sir.
Okay. How about now? Do you drink?
No. Occasionally, maybe New Year's, Christmas Eve.
What about marijuana or any other?
No.
When was the last time you did any drugs? Any illegal drugs?
None. I don't smoke weed. I don't do nothing. Nothing. And the time of the suicidal, I bring it back there. It was alcohol. And they took like 14, 15 bloods or tubes. They couldn't believe it was only alcohol in my system. And that's on record from the hospital. Because they was all talking about it, that they couldn't.
Sure, it is a record, that's why I asked you about it.
And they couldn't believe, because supposedly I beat the cop up, you know, that sent them to the hospital. He put his hands on me. I told him, leave me alone. He physically put his hands on me.
Why do you think he was doing that?
He was taunting me, sir. And there was witnesses there.
He was what?
Taunting me, like messing with me. Oh, you drug dealer, this, that, you know. He said, you should have killed yourself. He was talking down to me. Yes, sir. And the people that saved me wasn't my two friends. They called the cops. My two friends called the cops. The fireman saved me. That's the one that pulled me over the road. Over the balcony, I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
I have some follow-up. After the incident, you were brought to Waterbury Hospital.
Yes, ma'am.
Evaluated in the emergency room.
Then they left me there
to the psych service
for, I think, 7 or 8 days.
Okay.
And then when I got released, mm-hmm. they picked me up at the door.
Okay. But let me just focus in. When you were released from your inpatient stay, you continued to see a Waterbury Hospital-related psychiatrist and outpatient?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And do you recall the name of the medication you were treated with?
I don't recall.
When you spoke to the doctor about your side effects and your concern about continuing to take the medication, what did the doctor say to you?
I don't recall. It was so long ago, but I just told him I don't want to take it anymore because...
Was he comfortable with
it? Yeah, he was comfortable with it.
Because typically, if I had a patient like that and I was concerned, I'd be doing more than just letting you discontinue practice.
Correct.
But he allowed you to discontinue your treatment with him.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
Well, what I gotta say, what does that mean? He allowed you to. If you just walked away, he didn't allow you. Did the doctor agree that was a good call? Don't come back anymore?
No, I don't really remember, but I know I told him I didn't want to take the medication anymore, and that was it. I don't really, it's so long ago, sir.
Did he recommend any other treatment?
No.
Other than,
no.
Or is it that you just didn't go back?
No. He didn't recommend, from what I can recall, I don't think there was anything that was recommended by the doctor.
Yeah, it was just portrayed as the doctor allowed you to. The doctor doesn't really have a say in it if you don't go back, right?
Correct.
Is that what happened? You just didn't
I don't,
go back?
I don't recall. Okay. I don't recall.
Thank
but I did do what I had to do. just besides the medication.
Just some more follow-up.
Yes.
At the time that of that incident in 2007, were you heavily drinking at that time?
No, ma'am. I just drank the alcohol for the suicidal attempt.
And correct me if I'm wrong, it was you elected to hang yourself because of a relationship?
It was just life in period, everything, relationship, everything was going bad for me at the moment.
Did you feel depressed at the time?
Yeah, I was depressed, man. Yeah.
And you took the medication during the hospital stay and for 6 months afterwards?
Yes, no, about 3 months after that.
3 months after?
Yeah, if I recall right, it was like 3 months.
Did you have any trouble after you stopped taking the medication?
No, I felt better, I'll be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Just one quick thing.
Yep.
Is that scar from the incident?
No, ma'am. No, sir. I had a tumor in my face 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was just wondering. It's pretty.
No, actually, the doctor said that because I worked out at the time, mm-hmm. that my neck was strong enough that I was only out unconscious.
Yeah.
So that's what saved me, that my neck was strong enough. Yes.
Okay. Would you like to say anything else to summarize your...
Just thank you for the opportunity. Whatever happens, I understand. I will accept it.
I commend the appellant. Life is challenging for all of us. Some of the board members, myself, I understand. Later in life, I'm probably around the same age as the appellant, which would also mean that I understand the stresses of life, the stresses of early life and the stresses of later in life. The appellant has indicated that he's turned his life around, but he's also indicated that he still consumes alcohol on somewhat of a regular basis. And seeing how alcohol is one of the factors of this suicidal attempt, and also tied to a relationship issue, who's to say that that isn't one of those vulnerabilities that can rear its head later in life? The absence of sustained mental health care, again, by his own admission, he was committed for a period of time in a lockdown unit. He was seeing a mental health provider. He was provided medication. But again, by his own admission, he ceased care on his own. I know that some folks would want to, including the appellant, want to minimize the seriousness of it and minimize the lack or inconsistent mental health care, but we have a documented first attempt. It's only an attempt because he was saved. With all these vulnerabilities in life, now being later in life, they can persist silently until maybe there's yet another incident where alcohol is consumed and these vulnerabilities rear their ugly head, and he attempts it again. I understand that his wife has a pistol permit. I have no control over that. I wouldn't even begin to even be able to speak to that. But I think the issuing authority's responsibility is not put another firearm into the appellant's hand. I don't know what their security is at their home, but if it's his, it's upon his responsibility for that firearm. And if we put it in his hand, and one of these situations arises, I think it is our responsibility to make sure that we minimize the risk of something like that happening again. And that's the position of the issuing authority.
Thank you.
This is a denial by Waterbury, denials for suitability. Initially, the base of the denial was incidents, negative police interactions with the appellant. The appellant has a pardon for all of those stated negative police interactions. The police department is more concerned at this point regarding a July of 2007 suicide attempt in which the appellant did make an affirmative attempt to commit suicide. He was hospitalized for approximately 8 days, treated for 6 months after that incident. due to the feeling the medication was providing, it was giving him, which was approximately 3 months, he stopped his meds, no longer had any mental health assistance after that, did not need it. The appellant's a business owner, also works for another company. His last arrest was over 14 years ago. He obtained a full pardon for all his past criminal issues. And just as a observation on my part, I really thank the appellant for being as open and forthcoming regarding not only the incident, but his past and stuff. It's much appreciated.
Thank you.
Comments from the board? Yes.
Excuse me. Certainly understand the issuing authority's concern over this thing. It was a suicide attempt. I think nobody can predict the future with absolute certainty, obviously. But from my training and experience in this field, somewhat limited, but enough where I feel I can objectively view the appellant's current status, I think he is one of those cases where one suicide attempt doesn't mean he will do it again. It seems like he really has gotten his life back together, and that's going to inform my decision.
Any other comments from the board?
I would concur with my colleague. I think the passage of 19 years without a recurrence of either suicidal ideation or a major depressive episode suggests that the appellant was fortunate in that regard.
So voting, Dr. Gottman,
for the appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Colonel Overture.
The appellant.
Attorney Evangelisti.
I am going to commend you on your complete total change. It looks like paper looks. It looks great, and I wish you the absolute best. What's hard for me is there's about 19 years of criminal activity. That's a long time. There's a lot of things that happened during that time, and the suicide attempt. If you had a risk assessment from a counselor or a social worker, anybody that I could hang my hat on, they say, yep, we did a medical diagnosis, you're looking good, it's on the right path, everything's good, I would have definitely voted for you. But for at this time, I'm going to vote for the issuing authority. Only at this time. If you had come back with that, I have clear conscience. I'm not a medical professional, so
yep.
I usually defer down the hall. But so my vote is for issuing authority at this time. Okay.
I respect it.
Chief Rosenzweig.
I concur with that assessment. The lack of medical records is probably
your concern.
May or may not have been something there, but you're asking us to decide on. So, I concur with that opinion, and I will also vote for the issuing authority.
And I vote for the appellant.
You would.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.